killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny, and I am joined with...
Glory!
That's correct. And today, guys, when I tell you gangsters are one of my favorite things on this planet, that sounds very weird for me to say, but it is the truth.
Yeah. I don't know how.
No, it's not like that I'm, like, idolizing them or, like, wanting to be one, but I just think they're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Al Capone.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Gangsters do have a cool
Bugsy
aspect to
Siegel.
Them.
It's like kind of, okay, but it's more specifically like 1920s, you know, where it was like the Prohibition. Like,
I'm still trying to understand her obsession with the 1920s, but
guys,
okay.
Guys, the 1920s were the one. I don't understand why 2020s were not the same. They were a disappointment.
Wow.
But today we are looking at, and please excuse my pronunciation of this Italian, but I think it is pronounced Sam Gian... Now you see...
Sam Giancana.
That one. Giancana. Yeah. You see, I even Googled how to say it and then I butcher it because I just am not good with letters.
Because it's not from the 1920s.
Anyway, he was a organized crime boss who climbed to the top of Chicago's underworld and became a player on the national stage through shadowy ties to the Kennedys.
Mm.
Drama. Drama, guys.
I smell like, some tea.
I mean, because we've done the Kennedys, obviously, like JFK's assassination, but we've also done, did they have a role in Marilyn Monroe's death, you know?
Yeah. I think so.
And there has been suspicions, and we have spoken about on the show, that there was possible mob ties to him, how he got into presidency.
Yeah.
Like he paid the mob. So, I suppose we're going to dive into that right now. But Sam was born Guillermo Giancana. Okay, I'm glad he changed it to Sam, because if I had to say that name the whole show, I was going to be just sad. Yeah. And he was born on June 15th, but other sources say May 24th. How do we not know when someone's born? Is there not a birth certificate?
Mm.
I mean, we're not like going back to the 1700s here. We're going back to like the 1900s. Surely there were birth certificates. Anyway.
Maybe they just had like a paper with their name.
Yeah, but still, it should have a date. Oh, unless he was born on some rural farm somewhere.
Yeah.
But you never know. No, but it says he was born in Chicago. That's a city.
Yeah. I don't know how to justify
that. I don't know. He was baptized Momo Salvatore Giancana and was known as Sam. He grew up as in a rough neighborhood on the west side of Chicago as the son of Sicilian immigrants. As a teenager, Sam led a street gang called the 42s, who carried out low-level tasks for members of the powerful Chicago Mafia in the 1920s, which was led by the notorious gangster Al Capone.
Yeah.
Sam got a job as a wheelman or a driver in Capone's organization and was arrested for his first time in 1925 for auto theft. He soon graduated to Triggerman. By the age of 20, he had been the prime suspect in 3 murder investigations, but had never been tried. So basically, from the start, Mans had been in it, okay? From childhood, he was there like Robin Banks, and I'm kidding.
Wow.
But you see, the 1920s were like a really difficult time, and that's how young boys found their way to like make their way in the world.
Yeah.
Especially the immigrants, because they didn't provide fair opportunities from all the people coming from like Italy and stuff like that. And that's why we ended up with the Italian mobs and the Irish mobs and the Jewish mobs and the Chinese mobs. And it just ended really
badly. Just thinking why Italians would be immigrants in...
I actually remember Googling this once and I can't remember the answer because I was also wondering why Italians... I think America just promised like this new American dream, yeah. American lifestyle. And I know, like, even like in the 1920s, like when, like, I don't know when Mussolini was. Was he after that? He might have been after that. But I do know, I remember, wait, let me do you a favor. I'll Google this. Why did Italians immigrate to the States? Oh, is it there already? You see, Google knows that I want this answer. Italian immigrants were fueled by dire poverty. Life in southern Italy, including the islands of Sicily and Sardinia, offered landless peasants little more than hardship, exploitation, and violence. They moved for a better life. I suppose that's life. Most Makes immigrants. Sense. And yeah. Then they found themselves running gangs.
So it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's a general immigrant
story. Yeah, it's a general... Well, most immigrants, when you leave, you're leaving to find a better life. Like, you're not going to go... I mean, it's not like I'm going to go from my nice, cushy life here and move to Syria. Yeah.
Because, look, sometimes it isn't always poverty. You know, other times it's because of war.
Well, that's a sort of a sense the same for better life. You're still leaving.
Yeah, I get it. But they were just poor.
Okay. As opposed to war, where you could die. There wasn't, like, war or anything. Yes. Okay, I get you. It's not like the Soviets chasing out people for communism and all that. Okay, I get you. So, in 1933, Sam married Angeline de Tolles. The couple had three daughters, and their daughter Antoinette published a memoir called Mafia Princess in 1984. I want to read that. Sam climbed the mob ranks throughout the rest of the decade as the leadership of the Chicago changed with the jailing of Capone in 1931, and then he died in 1947. I'm sorry, just one note on Capone. You got to be so extra, so elite, that you are one of the most notorious gangsters on the planet and all they can put you in jail for is tax evasion. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, that's next level stuff.
Look, you know, I get how big this is, especially during the time.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, in the modern times that we live in, you know, our politicians get away with that all the time.
I guess, but we don't have gangsters like we used to have gangsters.
Yeah, like certain politicians... I won't mention their names. They're probably gang affiliated who run a bank down.
I get that, right? But like, we don't have like, if you had to be like, who's the Al Capone of 2024? There's no name you can put to it.
I don't think anyone is brave enough that way. Or smart enough.
I feel like they really did die out. Like they were like organized crime. It's gone more undercover.
Well, I wouldn't say
not undercover but not as like. Because these gangsters...
Would commercial be the right word?
I get you. Because these gangsters used to walk around in flashy suits. And everyone knew that that is Al Capone. Like, you don't mess with them. We don't have that, like, nowadays. Like, I mean, because those type of things make news headlines.
Look, there are still probably a lot of, like, traditional... mobs in that, but...
No, and I feel like, for example, if you had to go to, like, Colombia.
Yeah.
And you went there and to, like, a town and were, like... who's the drug lord, then like they'd probably like give you a name, but I don't feel like there's anyone as big as like they were in like the 20s.
And one of the bigger problems would be that the crime guys are inside,
because I mean like the well you see I think crime has also changed. I feel like crime is a lot more like cyber crime now, because I mean you do get people robbing banks and stuff, but you don't get like the bank robbers you used to in like the 20s and stuff like that. And I think it's the same with this, because I mean, like I said, like, I mean, the mafia still exists. I mean, I know there's mafia even in South Africa, but if you had to ask me who was at the head, I would not be able to tell you. I wouldn't even be able to tell you the gang's names that we have here.
Although, just a quick side check, I don't know if you remember the time when there was that robbery in Rosettenville. And they were, like, chased down by, like, cops and everything.
Wasn't Sash there, my cousin?
Yes, your cousin was there.
They was, like, had, like, weapons at the house that the police had been staking out.
Yeah, they had a safe house in the area called Rosettenville, which is in the south of Johannesburg in South Africa.
Yeah, but still, like, it's not as, like, affiliated. Like, you wouldn't be, I wouldn't be able to name who did it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I feel like the names are not as big. They're still doing crime, but it's not like, oh, this was the work of Al Capone. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Well, these days, I don't know if you want people to have your name.
I really also don't.
Because it's very easy to track you
that's
down.
That's also probably the reason. Mm. He first served prison time starting in 1939 for illegally manufacturing whiskey. After his release in the early 1940s, Sam set out to take over Chicago's illegal lottery gambling operations. You see, what also made it different those days is gambling was illegal, alcohol was illegal. So they, I don't know if that's also why maybe it was so different. Because, I mean, nowadays, if you own a casino, it's like no big deal.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? And he particularly took over operations in the city's predominantly African American neighborhood. Through the brutal string of events, including beatings, kidnappings, and murder, he and his associates won control of the numbers racket, increasing the Chicago's mob annual income by millions of dollars. A psychologist who interviewed Sam during his selective service physical examination during World War II classified the gangster as a constitutional psychopath who showed strong antisocial trends. As a result, Sam received 4F status and was disqualified from military service. Maybe they should have sent him to the military, then he would have been killed off.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I'm just saying it might have solved some problems. But you know, the U.S. government used the mob to, I think, I can't remember which world, it was either World War I or World War II. They used the mob to protect their docks, to make sure, like, no, like, agents or, like, funny, like, enemy territory people were coming through their harbors, because the mobs, like, owned the docks.
Yeah.
So he profited from the war on the home front, making a fortune manufacturing counterfeit ration stamps. Oh, my word. Really? By the end of the war, Sam, they're now called it the Giancarlo. How do I say this again?
Giancarlo.
Oh, now he says it with an accent.
But I did it the whole time.
I know, I'm just teasing. The Giancarlo family had moved from the city to a house in affluent Chicago suburb of Oak Park. When Anthony Tough Tony Accardo stepped down as the head of the Chicago outfit, which was basically the main branch of the mafia, in the mid-1950s, Sam ascended to the top spot. By 1955, he controlled the gambling and prostitution operations, narcotics trafficking, and other illegal industries in his hometown.
Whoa.
Under his leadership, the Chicago mafia grew from a relatively small-scale racket to a full-fledged criminal organization. He later told an agent of the FBI that he owned not only Chicago but Miami and LA as well. Do you know how much power you have to say that? In 1955, FBI agents planted a microphone in a room at the Armory Lounge in the suburb of Forest Park, which served as Sam's headquarters. For the next 6 years, they were able to eavesdrop on the workings of the mafia and gain knowledge of many criminal activities in Chicago and around the country. Though Sam's reign as Chicago's crime boss was already heading towards its end by the close of the 1950s, his path in the 60s would cross with two of America's most powerful men, Robert and John F. Kennedy. After Angeline's death in 1954, Sam became notorious for his flamboyant social life and frequent womanizing. He was a friend of the singer and actor Frank Sinatra and reportedly used Sinatra as a mediator with Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, who was alienating the mafia with his relentless campaign against organized crime in America. The mediation was apparently unsuccessful, as Robert Kennedy persuaded FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to place Sam's home. What did I say? J. Edgar Hoover. Okay. The mediation was apparently unsuccessful, as Robert Kennedy persuaded FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to place Sam's home in Oak Park under 24-hour surveillance in 1963. Now, Sam's numerous lovers included Phyllis McGuire and McGuire's sisters' singing group, the Judith Campbell Exner. That's a weird name.
Mm-hmm.
An actress who would link Sam to an even more powerful man, President John F. Kennedy, with whom Exner became involved with when she was still seeing Sam. Sam's various ties to JFK have long been the subject of speculation. Many historians believe that ballot stuffing in Chicago helped ensure Kennedy's election in 1960. Sam himself reportedly claimed that he had helped run a vote-stealing scam in Cook County, Illinois, to a district that had been the deciding factor in Kennedy's victory. On the other hand, there was also persistent rumors of the mafia's involvement in JFK's 1963 assassination, perhaps as revenge for what they saw as the ingratitude of the Kennedys for his in the form of his brother's crusade against organized crime. I do not personally believe that the mafia had anything to do with JFK's death. If you've listened to us for a long time, I'm firmly in the belief that it was the military industrial complex. But we won't get into that now because we'll be here till midnight.
Yeah.
Whatever Sam's specific link to JFK was, the two men had a nemesis in common, Fidel Castro, whom mob leaders hated because he had taken over Cuba with his extensive gambling rackets. The Kennedy administration obviously viewed Castro's communist regime as a threat to their national security, as evidenced in the infamous Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961. The tie between Sam and Kennedy would again be the subject of speculation when information later surfaced that the Mafia and the Central Intelligence Agency, otherwise known as the CIA, had joined forces in the 1960s to plot Castro's assassination. So lots and lots of drama behind the scenes. In 1965, Sam was put on trial for refusing to testify before a Chicago grand jury investigating organized crime. He was sentenced to 1 year in jail. Upon his release, Sam traveled to Mexico, where he lived a self-imposed exile until 1974. He was extradited that year by the Mexican authorities to testify before another grand jury. He was granted immunity from federal prosecution and appeared before that jury four times, but provided little information of use. Sam was next called to testify before the United States Senate Committee investigating mafia involvement in a failed CIA plot to assassinate Castro. Before he was scheduled to testify, Sam flew to Houston, Texas, and underwent a gallbladder surgery. He returned to his Oak Park home on June 17, 1975. 2 days later, Sam was shot once in the back of the head and several more times up through the chin with a .22 caliber pistol while cooking in... Why are we cooking in the basement?
Drugs.
That's weird. Though theories abounded as to who killed him, no one has ever been arrested in the connection to the murder. What? He's been murdered and we don't know who did it, guys.
Look, sometimes it's just the convenient way of getting rid of...
But I feel that, you know, because it criminals. Was the same with, like, Bugsy Siegel. Bugsy Siegel was also just killed in his home. And I feel like with his connection to the Kennedys, with Castro in Cuba, man's clearly had enemies.
Maybe it was like a hush-hush thing. The cops were like, you get rid of this guy, we see nothing, we hear nothing.
Yeah, but that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
Because the because that was my thing with... What's his face? Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah.
That's not someone small. That's not someone whose, like, murder would have been taken lightly.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a public... I mean, Bugsy Siegel is the reason Las Vegas exists. I mean, that's a pretty big, like, chip on his shoulder. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, really. Like, and so he was... And, I mean, he was high up with Luciano. And so when he got shot, I mean... The fact that no one was arrested, these things, you can clearly see there's hush-hush money. Like, even with this guy, I mean, I know he's not a good guy, but I mean, this is a prominent figure throughout all of Chicago. Yeah. He has ties to the president, and you're telling me we don't know who shot him?
That's an interesting one.
When he was about to go on trial. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, guys. I feel like he was going to expose people.
They shot him.
Before he went to testify.
Do you think it was because he was going to expose people or they faked his death?
No. No, he's dead. But he was called to testify about the plot against Castro. As in, like, testify against the CIA.
Oh, testify against.
Like, of course they're going to want him dead.
Yeah.
Guys, I feel like it was the CIA again. Guys, these people... I'm just saying.
CIA does it again.
Don't come after me. Don't come after me. But my thing is, again,
I know her address.
I'm just going to ignore that comment. Okay. Because I also know his address. So wow. I don't know what he's trying to threaten me with. But what I'm saying is there was definitely the hush-hush money.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, yeah. Because, again, like, someone like him, it's... His murder would have been like a top priority type of vibe. It's like a celebrity being killed.
No.
You get what I'm saying? So the fact is that we're like, what? Like, he died in 75. The fact, like, nearly, what, 60 years later?
Mm.
And 50 years later, we still don't know. Aye, guys, hush, hush money right there. That's how they do it. I'm just saying. Just look the other way, you know? Just misplace the bullets, you know, guys? Just don't answer the 911 call. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But that was our Sam Giancana, whatever you want to say. The gangster of the Chicago outfit. I found him very interesting because, again, sometimes you, like... Sometimes there's, like, the big names, like Al Capone. But from what I read, yeah, he actually did more for the Chicago outfit than Capone did.
Yeah.
But obviously Capone just had the fame and the name because of his brutality.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to find out these other characters. Like, my favorite gangster is Lucky Luciano. He was a role model for Capone, but more people know Capone than Luciano. And Luciano did way more organized crime than Al Capone did. I mean, he set up the Five Families of New York. He was involved with... There was Murder, Inc. Guys, Murder, Inc., I think that's such a cool, like, concept. But I'm just going to leave it at that. But we really hope you enjoyed this show. We will be here same time, same place next week. Otherwise, goodbye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.